the rest of the story. It's one of the most remarkable images in American politics, and it springs iridescent from the pages of history, especially this day. 51-year-old Senator James Wilson Grimes, deathly ill, body ravaged by a recent stroke, was carried solemnly into the Senate chamber. I mean, literally carried by affectionate comrades as the remains of a dignitary might be borne to the rotunda. One by one, the other senators stand in a silent salute to their colleague's courage and to the public service that he thus honors. There's a solitary clap of hands, then another and another, until that hallowed hall is ringing with reverent applause. For Senator Grimes has risked everything, even his life, to make the arduous journey here today to vote on an issue before the Senate, to cast one vote, and then go home perhaps to die. The Senate chamber falls to a hush once more as Jim Grimes is lifted into the chair at the Chief Justice's right. For interminable moments, he sits there gazing through haunted eyes at the men whom he has loved and respected and called friend, some for nearly a decade, and the majestic ritual of the Republic commences. For under consideration this day, in May of 1868, is the impeachment of the nation's president, Andrew Johnson. The Republicans have the votes to oust him, and they're the ones who want to. And Senator James Wilson Grimes, his stroke precipitated by the strain of the impeachment trial, he is a Republican. His special significance to the matter is this. When Jim casts his presumably pro-Republican vote, he will provide the president's enemies with the precise number of votes they need to banish Andrew Johnson from the office of the presidency. That's how close it is. But something happened that day which, according to customary partisan allegiance, ought not to have happened. For Jim Grimes, who had devoted his commanding oratory and his incomparable charisma to the promotion of Republican ideals from the party's inception, Jim Grimes, as a Republican, so persuasively Republican that his governorship of Iowa was the decisive factor in keeping that state in the Union during the uncivil war. Senator Grimes, that grim day in May, voting his conscience instead of his party, voted the president not guilty of the high crime of which he'd been accused. The vote total, 35 to 19, fell exactly one vote shy of the required two-thirds for conviction. So Andrew Johnson remained in office to complete his term, and James Wilson Grimes tumbled into disfavor, suffered another stroke, and died brokenhearted. One thing more, the high crime that got President Johnson impeached and very nearly thrown out of office was his defiance of the so-called Tenure of Office Act, a controversial legislation passed in March of 1867, in which prohibited the president from firing any Senate-approved official without getting the Senate's permission first. And Johnson, convinced that the act was unconstitutional, decided to test it by dismissing his Secretary of War. And now, 60 years later, the Supreme Court heard a similar case, and the High Court's decision was that the Tenure of Office Act was, in fact, unconstitutional. So the much maligned, almost expelled President Johnson was right. But the next time you reflect on that, you will recall the magnificent procession of Senator James Wilson Grimes, who gave up what was left of his life for his love of justice. Now that you know the rest of the story.